it's become a propaganda war in the media. You have this constant onslaught of, you know, a terrorist rhetoric against the Muslim Brotherhood that the army general, Abdel Fattah al-Sisi, really put in place with his speech on the 24th of July. And now it's really become a very divided us and them. And it's very difficult to be one of those neutral voices in the middle that's calling for a rejection of both and a rejection of the kind of binary decision. And it's now become an overwhelming support for the army, overwhelming support to completely destroy the structure of the Muslim Brotherhood. You know, leaders are being jailed daily. Their pictures are being plastered all over television and social media. And anybody who does not espouse that theory that they are terrorists, that they are responsible for violence in the Sinai, they're responsible for sectarian violence, which I do and don't agree with, is being classed as pro-brotherhood. And it's people falling into that gap and falling into that hole that the army has created of a binary of us and them and choosing whether it's the state and the security of the state with the army or whether it's terrorism and chaos with the brotherhood.
So those are the conversations you've been having online, but what about your interactions in the real world? So you live in a part of Cairo. Whereabouts is that? Explain a bit to me about what the reaction's been out there to the return of emergency rule.
Well, I live just outside of North Cairo in a suburban area called Sheikh Zayed, which is very close to the Alexandria Desert Road, which takes you up to the north coast. So it's an area of gated compounds, you know, villas and townhouses and apartments, very much more affluent. A lot of what people would call sort of the liberal elites or the elites in general. Certainly the reaction to Abdel Fattah al-Sisi has been 100% favorable. The conversations I'm having online are indicative of polarization and indicative of support for the army. Offline, it's probably even worse. People here are very happy. I don't want to be rude about friends and family, but, you know, it's shocking to me after the reactions to Wednesday's violence how so many do not see the 700-plus people who died as Egyptians. They don't see them as people the same as you and I and us in general. They call them terrorists. They call them armed. And it's been, you know, even the Ministry of Interior cannot deny that the vast, vast majority of those who died on Wednesday were not armed and they were peaceful protesters. And I mean, just to make my position clear, I'm not against them, the leaders being arrested, and I'm not against those armed elements being arrested, and I'm not against the idea that there are elements of the protests that were armed. My argument is that under a state of emergency, giving the military and the police the right to arbitrary arrests, giving them a right to fast-tracked military prosecution without effective legal representation, without effective recourse, you know, denying them of their due process rights, is not a way to get justice. It's not a way for us to move forward. We're simply going completely backwards.
So it sounds almost as though you're bemoaning a lost opportunity. There was this massive amount of public will which could perhaps have affected political change, but now we find ourselves within Egypt where Mohamed Morsi is behind bars, but Hosni Mubarak has walked free. Your comment on that, Hafsa?
Of course. You know, as a picture, it just paints this horrible picture of a fight for democracy completely lost, a revolution that has ended, a revolution that has failed. And if we're going to be pedantic about it, legally, whether or not Mohamed Morsi was still president, it was very likely that Hosni Mubarak would have been freed anyways, simply because of the way the previous charges and the retrial that we saw. And it's been a long, long story of complete legal sort of mistakes and gaffes that have been made along the way, and, you know, a corrupt judiciary and so on and so forth. So it would have been very likely, even if June 30th hadn't happened, that Hosni Mubarak would have walked free, at least have been placed under house arrest or something for the duration of the rest of his retrial. But, of course, with the backdrop of what has happened, it looks increasingly unlikely that Hosni Mubarak will ever see the inside of a prison cell again. On that backdrop, of course, that we've seen a democratically elected president now behind bars, or I don't actually know where he is. Nobody knows where he is. No one's seen or heard from him or even knows anything about him for the past 7 weeks. It's an incredibly dangerous picture being painted of a country that not only hasn't reached democracy or hasn't been able to fulfill the promises of the January 25th revolution, but a country that is taking itself back to an autocratic or even worse, a military dictatorship with the support of millions of Egyptians.